السائحون، الراكعون، الساجدون، الآمرون بالمعروف والناهون عن المنكر، والحافظون لحدود الله، وبشر المؤمنين. And those that turn to Allah in repentance, those who worship Allah, those who praise Him, those who wander in the devotion to the cause of Allah, those who bow down and prostrate to Allah, that means in prayer, those who enjoy good and forbid evil, and observe the limits set by Allah, so proclaim the glad tidings to the believers. And Surah Al-Tahrim, in Surah Al-Tahrim, Ayah 5, then Allah Ta'ala also mentioned Sa'ihun. As Allah Ta'ala said, Asa Rabbuhu إن طلقكن أن يبدله أزواجا خيرا منكن مسلمات مؤمنات قانتات تائبات عابدات سائحات طيبات وأبكارا. It may be if he divorced you, meaning the Prophet صلى الله عليه وسلم, divorced you all, meaning the whole companion, the whole mothers of believers, that Allah will give him an exchange consorts better than you, who submit their wills, who believe, who are devout, who turn to Allah in repentance, who worship Allah in humility, who travel for faith, that is the sa'ihun, sa'ihat, and fast, and it means he's fasting. Previously married, all virgins. So here in this ayah, Allah Ta'ala also mentioned the sa'ihat, their sa'ihun, here is Sa'ihat. Sa'ihat is especially for ladies, as we learn in the Ajrumiyya, that when the word is when there is Alif and Ta added to the end of a word, this would be جمع مذكر سالم. That is the feminine sound plural. They say that the person who's fasting is called سائح, although سائح means tourist. It is because the one who is fasting does not have food, does not need food. And the one, the tourist does not carry food with him. So he eats, the tourist only eats whatever he finds, food whenever he needs to. That is the first merit of fasting. It is the tourism of this ummah. The tourism of this ummah. And then we have the other thing, which that fasting is the worship that nothing else can be like it. And that's why in the hadith, which is reported by Ibn Hibban and his Sahih and Ahmad and Musnad, Nasa'i, Tabarani, Ibn Abi Shayba, Abd al-Razzaq, all these reported this hadith with a chain of narration, which are all the men of it are upon the condition of Imam Muslim rahimahullah. Therein, Abu Umama hears from the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam something about the yani there was a kind of dialogue between them both. At the end, Abu Umama asked the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam to teach him something that if he does it, he will enter the Jannah. He sallallahu alaihi wasallam told him, عليك بالصوم فإنه لا مثل له. Do much fasting, as there is nothing amongst the worships like unto fasting. And the third merit of fasting is that it is added to Allah's name, as in the hadith reported by Bukhari and Muslim, as well as Ahmad, where Abu Hurairah radiallahu ta'ala anhu said that the Messenger of Allah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said that Allah ta'ala said, and this is the hadith Qudsi, that is when we say the hadith, when we call the hadith Qudsi. Allah ta'ala said, كُلُّ عَمَلْ إِبْنِ آدَمَ لَهُ of the child of Adam is for him, meaning is going to be rewarded as per the reward told or determined. إِلَّا الصَّوْمِ except for fasting, فَإِنَّهُ لِي it is for me. It is for me. And here we see that it is fasting for me. وَأَنَا أَجْزِيبِهِ to the end of the hadith. And I will reward for fasting. And in the other hadith, as reported by Imam Bukhari, يترك طعامه وشرابه من أجلي الصيام لي. He leaves or he stops eating, drinking for me. So fasting is for me. So this shows that fasting takes its importance from the issue that Allah Ta'ala linked it to Himself. Although all the worships for Allah but fasting is the worship that as refers to Allah because of the sincerity found in it. As we know that always fasting, no one can know if he's sincere or not but Allah Ta'ala. As if you're fasting and you do wudu, you can't drink water, no one can know that. You can just swallow water. No one can know that, but Allah Ta'ala knows best. So when you threw the water out of your mouth, instead of swallowing it, this is sincerity and fasting. And the fourth myth is that fasting causes higher ranks, as what Allah Ta'ala said in the Quran, إِنَّمَا يُوَفَّى الصَّابِرِينَ أَجْرَهُمْ بِغَيْرِ حِسَابٍ. إنما يوفى الصابرون أجرهم بغير حساب. هذه سورة الزمر سورة نمبر 39 آية نمبر 10. إنما يوفى الصابرون أجرهم بغير حساب. Verily those people of patience are going to be given those who patiently reserve will truly receive a reward out measure. And fasting is based on patience, sabr. As in the hadith, as-sawm nisfu as-sabr, fasting is half of patience. The fifth myth is that fasting adheres one of the attributes of Allah Ta'ala. As abandoning drinking and eating. And abandoning the desire. As we all know that Allah Ta'ala doesn't eat, doesn't drink, and doesn't have a desire like the creation. As Imam Ibn Hajar said in Fath al-Bari, وَالِاسْتِغْنَاءُ عَنِ الطَّعَامِ وَغَيْرِ مِنَ الشَّهَوَاتِ مِنْ صِفَاتِ الرَّبِّ جَلَّ جَلَالُهُ فَلَمَّا تَقَرَّبَ الصَّائِمُ إِلَيْهِ بِمَا يُوَافِقُ صِفَاتِهِ أَضَافَهُ إِلَيْهِ. And being sufficient from eating, drinking, or other desires, this is from the attribute of the Lord. So whoever fasts, whoever is fasting, then he is doing some of the worship that takes him close to Allah Ta'ala by the similarity of it to what Allah Ta'ala is upon, like no eating, no drinking, no desire. The sixth merit of fasting is that it is the only worship that the reward of it is not going to be given to people whom the one who is fasting may oppress. So if you oppress somebody and die with that on the day of resurrection, your hasanat is going to be taken and given to that person until it finishes. Except the book of fasting would never be taught. As in the hadith in Sahih Bukhari, and Kitab al-Tawheed, and it's from your Lord who said, there is a kafara for every deed. وَالصَّوْمُ لِي لِكُلِّ عَمَلٍ كَفَّارَةٍ وَالصَّوْمُ لِي وَعَلَى أَجْزِيبِهِ. But fasting is for me, and I am the one who rewards for it. And this is reported by Imam Ahmad, Dawood, with other narrations, and some slight difference in the text. So this is the sixth merit. That the reward of fasting is not going to be amongst the rewards of any worship that is going to replace the oblation from the person to the others. And here we stop to continue inshallah ta'ala tomorrow. If you have any question related to the subject, hayyakumullah. Otherwise, inshallah ta'ala, we'll see you again tomorrow morning. Inshallah, assalamu alaikum wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh. You can have, we have 30 minutes question and answer session if you want. Faddal ya Muslim _ 23. وجزاكم الله خير ايضا انتم. عامة الله مهم. Yes, you can ask. Go ahead now. Ahmad, what is your question about Taraweeh and Ramadan? Okay, the question here says, can a female pray at home alone, and is Taraweeh the same as Tahajjud? I say that Taraweeh, Tahajjud, Qiyamul Layl, Salatul Layl, all these are names for one action, which is to pray, optional prayer at night from after Isha until just before Fajr. This all called Taraweeh, Qiyam, whatsoever. And the best for the woman, the best for the woman is to pray in her place, in her home, And when it is in her room, private room, special room, that would be better. As in the hadith, لَا تَمْنَعُوا إِمَاءَ اللَّهِ مَسَجِدَ اللَّهِ وَبِيُوتُهُنَّ خَيْرٌ لَهُمْ. Do not stop the she slaves of Allah, female slaves of Allah, from reaching the houses of Allah. It means her prayers. And then the Prophet said, but, or however, their homes are better for them than the Masajid in prayer. نعم يا أخوان. Send your questions يا أخوان. Do not just keep hanging your hands. Yes, Amatullah, you can ask. You all please send your questions. Okay, Amatullah is saying, Sheikh, I would like to ask regarding istikhara. Does one commit a sin by not following the guidance of istikhara when he makes it? Example, in the case of marriage, if one makes istikhara to marry a person and then he is certain that he wants to proceed, as well as that he is brought close to it, but he does not take the steps to get through that, is he committing a sin by this? As he sought the guidance of Allah through istikhara, but he does not follow the guidance which directs him to this thing he has made istikhara about. First of all, let me ask you, what is the guidance? Where from he gets the guidance? How would he get the guidance from Allah in regard to the istikhara? I said, how would he get the guidance from Allah when he makes this istikhara? Okay, the istikhara is to pray two rak'at other than the fard, and then you ask Allah Ta'ala to choose for you what is better, as in the hadith. But how do you know what Allah Ta'ala chooses for you? The ulama have an explanation and the awam have other explanation. The majority of the people prefers the awam explanation than the ulama explanation. The awam explanation, they say, you feel kind of convinced, that you are convinced to something, whether to go and do what you are istikhara for, or rather to stay away. That it means you feel happy to do it or not. And this is the explanation of the awam. There is no any hadith or adhar relates it to the feelings. However, once you do the istikhara, you go ahead and do whatever you made the istikhara for. If Allah Ta'ala permits it for you, if Allah Ta'ala chooses it for you, if Allah Ta'ala knows this is the best for you, you will go and do it. Now, after you do it, you may have found it not the best thing you'd have done. The thing you left, you didn't do, maybe seem better. But we say then, no, you got to trust your Lord. Because Allah knows best. If you, for example, if you make istikhara, to go live in or to marry A or B, and you ask Allah to choose the best for you. So Allah chose B for you. When you got B, you find that B's manners and characters is bad. She's always nervous, she's always this, she's always shouting. And you saw A married to X, and they are living, mashallah, very conveniently. We say then, there is nothing wrong with this istikhara there. And you don't know how A would be if you married her. Maybe not shouting, maybe major illnesses, maybe this, maybe that. So, you cannot know what is better. So you, you cannot know what is better, but you can go ahead with what Allah Ta'ala made easy for you to take. That is the consequence of istikhara, wallahu a'lam. Na'am, ya. So what is his state if he makes the decision and does not go ahead with it? That means that this is what Allah chosen for him. Na'am. Wa bikum barakallah. Another Muslim, go ahead. Another Muslim says, Sheikh, there is a Muslima, a Musalla here, but the brothers that are even within 10 minutes walking distance do not come. When I advise a brother to come after showing him some hadith, he said that the four imams did not explain the hadith to mean that it is compulsory to make one jama'ah, and he is okay with praying with one or two brothers near his office. How do I advise him? Well, there are a hadith shows that the one who pay the office or the market or whatsoever or in the house will get a lesser reward of the salah than if he prays in the masjid. It is lesser by 25 and some hadith 27 rounds of not level. And we are not told, we are not worshipping Allah by what the ulama say. We are not worshipping Allah by what the four imam say. We are worshipping Allah by what Muhammad ibn Abdullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, a man whom Allah Ta'ala sent as a hujjah against every mankind. That is the one we check his statement. Now, if the Prophet Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam clearly say pray in the masjid, and the ulama say no, it is and you can pray in the house, although the ulama never said that, But I say this is not acceptable. We have to choose what the Messenger of Allah Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam said, not what the others said. Although these others are very highly respected, but Muhammad Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam is more respected than them, as our Imam, as our Sheikh, Noble Sheikh Muhammad ibn Abdul Wahhab al-Marzuq, who is known by Muhammad, may Allah extend him his life and grant him Iman and strength in his body, and eat up his life with good. He was giving us a dars in Ramadan in fasting, in regard to fasting, and our masjid, Masjid Anwar in Jeddah, one day, and he said his opinion, which does not adhere to opinion of the ulama here in the kingdom, the like of Imam Ibn Baz, Imam Uthaymeen. So, one man said, "Ya Sheikh, you mean to say that you know better than the Messiah, Ibn Baz and Ibn Uthaymeen?" His response was, mashallah, very, very humble, very, what do we say, very good, very intelligent. He said, "These imams are our imams, Ibn Baz, Uthaymeen, and the like, and they are placed over our heads, above our heads. But Rasulullah Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam is above them all." And that's the truth. Yeah, we respect, we love them more than our families. But we love Rasulullah Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam more than everyone. We respect them very highly, but we respect Rasulullah Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam more than anyone else. That's the answer to this question, Allah alam. Amatullah ta'ala says, okay, continuation of another Muslim question. Jazakumullah khair. Sheikh, does it make a difference if there is a musalla and not a masjid? If the five prayers are being conducted there, this is a masjid. This is a masjid. Now, the musalla is the place where they don't conduct the five prayers regularly in it. That is called musalla. Yeah, I mean, this is in regard to the question of Amatullah. This is not an oath, and there is nothing there is no sin in not fulfilling it, except if it is something that you said you never do when it is haram, and you do it, then you are a sinner, because you have committed a sin by doing this haram, like drinking khamr. But if it is not like that, if you say, I will never eat eggs. This is not old, this is not an old, and this is not something haram you are avoiding. So if you ate eggs, khalas, that's it. You don't need to do kafar or nothing. But if you say, "I will never smoke cigarettes," and this is haram, turn back to smoking cigarettes, then there is a sin because you smoked cigarettes, not because you broke your oath. Wallahu a'lam. Right. Muslim_23 says, "Sorry Sheikh, it is me again asking about Taraweeh, Tahajjud. How many rak'at?" Okay. We are coming to the issue of rak'at in our series of talks of about Ramadan. If you don't mind, we're going to put them inshallah later on to bring you the evidences of what we of what the ulama say for all opinions, and then I will also give you the evidences for what I believe. Naam. Allahu A'lam. Alright, Aisha Kabu says, Ya Sheikh, yesterday you mentioned a hadith and you said kalima, what does it mean? Which hadith? And the shahada, he Abu Umama was asking, what does it mean, Abu Umama? What hadith was that? What is the hadith? I mentioned many hadith, I don't know which hadith you mean. Anyway, we reported in Ibn Hibban. Well, let me go back and listen to the talk once again. Let me get it. And then inshallah ta'ala, tomorrow first thing you remind me, and inshallah we'll speak about it. As time here is approaching to Maghrib, inshallah ta'ala we're going to see you tomorrow again. My lessons is every day at this time, inshallah. Every day at this time, inshallah. جزاكم الله خير. السلام عليكم ورحمة الله وبركاته.